জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারে গোপী জন বল্লভ গীরবার দারে জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারে গোপী জন বল্লভ গীরবার ধারে যশোর নন্দন গজ জন রঞ্জন যশোর নন্দন গজ জন রঞ্জন যমুন ধীর বন ছারি যমুন ধীর বন ছারি জয় রাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারে গোপী জন্ম বল্লভ গীরবার ধারে যশোর নন্দন গজ জন রঞ্জন যশোর নন্দন গজ জন রঞ্জন যমুন ধীর বন ছারে হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরি হরে হরি রাম হরে রাম 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 হরি হরে রাধ শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধে জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় গৌরানীতা গৌরানীতা জয় গৌরানীতা জয় পপু পরা জয় পপু পরা প্রভু জয় প্রভু 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 জয় শিল প্রভু Sayam Vishwad, Paramahansa, Paravachakachaya, Ashutthaka Sashashi, Shri Mahadev's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Jigpa Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're starting a new chapter today, chapter 6 in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the killing of the demon Putana. So we'll read the summary. The summary of the 6th chapter is as follows. When Nanda Maharaj, following the instructions of Vasudev, was returning home, he saw a great demoniac woman lying on the road, and then he heard about her death. While Nanda Maharaj, the king of Raja, was thinking about Vasudeva's words concerning disturbances in Gokul, he was a little afraid and sought shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Meanwhile, Kamsa sent to the village of Gokul a Rakshasi named Putana, who was wandering here and there killing small babies. Of course, wherever there is no Krishna consciousness, there is the danger of such Rakshasis. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself was in Gokul, Putana could accept nothing there but her own death. One day, Putana arrived from outer space in Gokul, the home of Nanda Maharaj, and by displaying her mystic power, she assumed the disguise of a very beautiful woman. Taking courage, she immediately entered Krishna's bedroom without anyone's permission. By the grace of Krishna, no one forbade her to enter the house or the room, because that was Krishna's desire. The baby Krishna, who resembled a fire covered by ashes, looked upon Putana and thought that he would have to kill this demon, the beautiful woman. Enchanted by the influence of Yoga Maya and the personality of Godhead, Putana took Krishna upon her lap, and neither Rohini nor Yashoda objected. The demon Putana offered her breast for Krishna to suck, but her breast was smeared with poison. The child Krishna, therefore, squeezed Putana's breast so severely that in unbearable pain, she had to assume her original body and fell to the ground. Then Krishna began playing on her breast just like a small child. When Krishna was playing, the gopis were pacified and took the child away to their own laps. After this incident, the gopis took precautions because of the attack of Rakshasi. Mother Yashoda gave the child her breast to suck and then laid him in bed. Meanwhile, Nanda and his associates, the cowherd men, returned from Mathura, and when they saw the great dead body of Putana, they were struck with wonder. Everyone was astonished that Vasudev had foretold this mishap, and they praised Vasudev for his power of foresight. The inhabitants of Braja cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces, but because Krishna had sucked her breast, she had been freed from all sins, and therefore, when the cowherd men burned the pieces of her body on a fire, the smoke filled the air with a very pleasing fragrance. Ultimately, although Putana had desired to kill Krishna, she attained the Lord's abode. From this incident, we can gain the instruction that if one is attached to Krishna somehow or other, even as an enemy, one ultimately attains success. What then is to be said of devotees who are naturally attached to Krishna in love? When the inhabitants of Raj heard about the killing of Putana and the welfare of the child, they were very much satisfied. Nanda Maharaj took the baby Krishna on his lap and was filled with satisfaction. Text 1. Shri Shuku Vacha Nanda Pati Vachakshare Namrsheti Vichintaya Harim Jagama Sharanam Upatthagama Shankitaha Shishuku Vacha Nandak Pativa Chakshare Nam Rishi Divichintaya Harim Jagama Sharanam Utpata Gama Shankita. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Shri Shukuvacha, Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Nandaha, Nanda Maharaj, Pati, on his way back home, Vachaha, the words, Share, Avasudev, Na, not, Misha, without purpose or cause, Iti, thus, Vichintayan. While thinking about inauspiciousness for his little son, Krishna. Harim. Under the Supreme Lord, the Controller. Jagama. Took. Sharanam. Shelter. Utpata. Of disturbances. Agama. With the expectation. Shankitaha. Thus being afraid. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami continued, My dear King, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home, he considered that what Vasudev had said could not be false or useless. There must have been some danger of disturbances in Gokul. As Nanda Maharaj thought about the danger for his beautiful son Krishna, he was afraid and he took shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. Whenever there is danger, the pure devotee thinks of the protection and shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also advised in Bhagavad Gita 9.33, Anityam Ashukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam. In this material world, there is danger at every step, padam padam yad vipadam. Therefore, a devotee has no other course than to take shelter of the Lord at every step. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhutaya Shrimati Bhakti Vinata Swami Tanya Namaste Saraswati Shri Shri Shrimati Bhishadha. So, new chapter, exciting chapter, and it starts off with a kind of an inauspicious note to it, because Nanda Maharaj is remembering what Vasudeva just said, that there's probably going to be some trouble, you better get back right away. So Nanda Maharaj is on his way home. In this purport, again and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this purport also, we were reminded of the nature of the material world, that it is rated as a very dangerous zone. You know, put danger zone on it all over, from the womb. Very dangerous to be in a womb these days, and also all the way to the grave. It's very dangerous, and we are reminded of it even on a daily basis sometimes, unfortunately. I remember when I was about 10 or something like that, my parents would go out and they would leave me alone, and I was terrified. I had a big, huge house, kind of out in the country. My neighbors were really far, and I would just sit there, and as soon as it got dark and the TV shows got boring, I would just be, every little noise, I would be scared to death. I was thinking there was danger at any time. I don't know if that ever happened to you, but it was like child abuse, if you ask me. Leave the poor little kid home. I still remember it, seeing everything move and hearing everything. And there were actually incidents that had happened in the neighborhood, so I was frightened. And I didn't have my shelter. My shelter was my parents at that age. And so instead of my parents being there, my only shelter at that point was that I would somehow or other fall asleep. The old rabbit thing, but just, it isn't happening. So, unfortunately, you'd never be able to fall asleep till you heard them come in the door. And then when you're in adolescence, you're pretty much infallible. You're not afraid of anything, right? The only thing you're really afraid of is that your parents are going to catch you for all the crazy things that you're doing, right, that you shouldn't be doing. And at that time, your shelter is your friends, right? That is the greatest shelter, to be with your buddies. And then when you become a family man, there's that well. Right? I know some young people, even now, are thinking of the danger of the well, especially of relationships. Is it going to work out, or is it not going to work out? Am I going to get along, or what's going to happen? Is that danger? And so at that time, usually in at least materialistic family life, the shelter is soap operas, gramikatha, things like that. Talk about your other neighbors, things, keep everything jolly. And then in old age, there's all kinds of danger, right? My mother's 90, she just fell flat on her face, black and blue for 2 weeks, things like that. And then there's the danger of being useless. Invalidity is horrible, thinking about it. And of course, death is lurking right over your shoulder. So at that time, the materialist is taking shelter of what? Well, if they're fortunate, they'll take shelter in religion. They'll go to, volunteer more at the churches and things like that, take shelter in their Bible. Or if that doesn't work or that gets boring, then there's always a good novel, or, of course, most of them, TV. That's their shelter for old people. Is they watch a lot of the boob tube. And then there's the tough guy that has no fear on the back of his truck, right? Prime of his life, not afraid of anything. He probably has his gun in the back, across the back window, too, to show you that. So, but Prabhupada would say, no fear. He says, yes, you're a fool. That's what Prabhupada would say, because everyone is frightened of something in their life. So, but the pure devotee, as we hear here, is really not in this danger. He learns the art of stepping out of this danger zone, because he's thinking of Krishna. He's with Krishna. He's feeling that immortality And of course, Prahlad Maharaj is the example that Prabhupada loved to quote from for so many things. But he was in a very maha danger situation. We can't picture, you know, being thrown into a wok of ghee in the kitchen or things like that. I mean, it would be pretty terrifying. But he was just chanting Hare Krishna, taking complete shelter in the holy name, which would, I think, for most of us, be really hard to do at this point of the game. But he learned that art, and he really had no fear. It's said that the pure devotee does have one fear, and that is that, supposedly, that I might fall down. You hear when the pure devotees, because of their dearness to the Lord, they get benedictions a lot of times, you know, and they're asked, Krishna will say, oh, you know, what do you want? I'm just so happy, so pleased with you. What would you like? And they say, really, I don't want anything. But I, as a matter of fact, if I could just always take shelter of your lotus feet. If you could go help. I have a program. She needs to go help in the cooking. And so this is the benediction that the pure devotee is begging for, to not fall down and to always be able to take shelter and feel that protection of the Lord at all times and all places and all circumstances, no matter what. And that is an art that we are trying to work on. But the materialist, his main business, because of all this danger, his main business is to somehow or other alleviate it. That's pretty much what they're doing, you know, with all their businesses and with their different protection plans. The insurance, that's a nice protection plan, right? They figure they got a lot of things covered with that. And then they have a lot of self-defense programs now, very popular. You see in every city, two or three of them, karate, learn this, have your kids learn it. They need defense too. Who knows what's going to happen with them in this day and age. Women, you have to learn how to, you know, do it to the men. And then there's, of course, guns. Guns. I've talked to someone recently, and the sale of guns has skyrocketed beyond your belief. It's even hard to buy them because they're short of them. So many people are stocked up, ready to protect themselves. And that just makes it more dangerous for everybody else. So it's quite a predicament in this day and age. But so they're busy trying to, you know, say, oh, there really is no danger. We have Obama. We have so many things going on. We really don't need any shelter except for those things. And a bank account, of course. You need that in case you get in trouble. So this is the main business of the materialist, is to try to find shelter in their own strength, which is pretty much... not able to be done. The devotee, fortunately, has the torchlight of knowledge and can see through this mire of nescience and look and see the material world for what it really is, that it's not a place of residence for the soul. It's really not meant to be inhabited by the spirit soul. We're always very much uncomfortable here for so many different reasons. And it's described that like a bird flying in the sky, we are like that. At some point, we're going to have to just be by ourselves. The bird, if it has trouble, nothing can save it. If an airplane is flying in the sky, nothing can help it. Another, you know, big net can't go out and catch it, and you know, you can't send something to, you know, fix it in the middle of the air. At the same time, we have to fly our own airplane, Prabhupada says. And we have to realize at some point we will have to take shelter. And so we take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even when there isn't some calamity. So we have to learn how to actually, with great faith, just to fall into the lap of Krishna and realize that he's going to catch us. He promises again and again that I will protect my devotee. But to just completely have faith that no matter what, Krishna is going to be there to catch us is a difficult thing for most of us. Our faith is really not that fixed. Sometimes you get pop quizzes and you something will happen and you all of a sudden go, oh my God, I don't know if that counts for Krishna, but anyway, oh my God, or whoa, or gosh, or ugh, or you know, all these different things come out of your mouth and you think, boy, I don't know if I would have passed that one if something really happened. So I remember when our god sister Sunita had her first heart attack, she said that she didn't pass the test, that she was just thinking about who was going to water my garden. So, you know, she said, the second time she said, I did better. I was thinking of the deities, Radha, Shyama, Sundara, and Vrindavan. So we sometimes get those tests to see what level of absorption we are in Krishna consciousness, because this is what really it takes to have that faith and to that strength to just realize Krishna is always going to protect us at every moment. And so we can kind of judge ourselves when you know, you have to slam on those brakes and see what you say. If you're really filled up with Krishna, then Krishna or Prabhupada will come out. So we have to practice in that way. And we have to be very careful because association definitely sits very deep within our consciousness. There might be some other tune playing in our consciousness at that time, and maybe it's not a Hare Krishna tune. It might be an oldie goldie that we just happened to listen to because we just missed that. It was just such a good thing. We really liked it. Or we heard it by chance in a store, you know, and go, oh my God, I remember that, and all the craziness that went with it. Or we may have, you know, fallen into a slip when we just pick up some crazy magazine or read an article that has nothing to do with Krishna that has stuck in my mind now for a week. Boy, I wish I hadn't picked that up. Or a new DVD or a movie, a thriller or whatever. We have to be very, very careful of our association and keep completely filled. Like Papa says, the cup of milk has to be such that not a drop of ink can go in. It's very, 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 very crucial in our lives at this point to keep completely absorbed. Because every distraction can be dangerous upon our steps right now. If we're going to step into this material world, or we're actually going to step out. So we have to be very cautious and take some of these precautionary measures not to waste any time, not to think that we can find it, you know, a really nice place to stay here and be comfortable. We have to realize that if we do take the measures that Prabhupada has given us in our sadhana, that our vision will become more and more enlightened, so much so that our vision will be clear and we'll actually see that Krishna is going, come on, just come on and fall in my lap and I will embrace you, I will take you. And we'll see that at every step, that Krishna is so anxious for us to come back to him, unbelievably anxious, and he's giving us so much facility. He's trying to get us back home, out of here, give us a real residence, a place where you don't have to lock your doors. You don't have to lock your car doors, you don't have to lock any doors, your windows, you can go away for a week in Vaikuntha, and you don't have to worry about keys or turning off this or that or a fire breaking out, anything. You don't have to worry about any demons of any kind. There are some rumors of demons, but there's no demons. That makes it a little more exciting to think that there might be some action, but there are no demons. And then there's no sirens, there's no hospitals and all the bills that go with it. There's no volcanoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, floods, no, you know, danger in the sky and the earth and the water and the air. It's all Vaikuntha. a place of no anxiety, of no danger. So Krishna is trying to tell us that, and we should be able to pick it up. There might be a few naughty monkeys and things like that, but in general, there's no danger in Vaikuntha. There's only danger here if we choose to forget that Krishna will protect us and think that we can play around and with our own strength deal with it. But real strength is in numbers. That's why Prabhupada made this ISKCON movement. If we stay together and remind each other of our destination, our real destination, that there's plenty of vacancies there for us to go to Vaikuntha, then we'll be more encouraged to go, and we'll get that help and that conviction that we do need at all times to think of Krishna. Because the things are contagious, especially fear and fearlessness are both very contagious. I don't know if you've ever like going to go somewhere or do something, and then you ask someone to go with you, and they go, "Oh, you don't want to do that. You know that this could happen and that could happen, and what if this and what if that?" And by the time you know you finish talking to them for 5 minutes, you go, "Boy, I'm glad I didn't think that I was going to go there." You know, and it's really contagious. You know, you can get all like hyped up that, "Oh my gosh, you know, something's really going to happen," but at the same time, fearlessness, you can get you know completely hyped up to do some wild things, right? In Prabhupada, Abaya was the most fearless. He came here to the crazy West and you know withstood so many things, you know, completely fearless to start this Hare Krishna movement. And lo and behold, that was contagious to us. We found ourselves doing things that never would have done, never. Crazy things that took would have taken, you know, I don't know what, a lot of money for us to be paid to do some of the things that we did. And we didn't get paid anything. We just rubbed shoulders with Srila Prabhupada and saw how fearless he was. Go here, do this, do that. And we, sure, why not? Yeah, of course, yeah. And we imbibed that, and we did wonderful things for Krishna. So we should have that fearlessness and spread it so that this movement can keep spreading. I was listening to some remembrances of Nanda Kumar, and he was saying how he was sent to Ethiopia during a internal revolution in that country. And he said it was such a dangerous situation. I mean, he said, you know, violence was everywhere. I mean, they were really, you know, asking for it. But, you know, they did it because Prabhupada said to go there and do it. You know, they had one little name of somebody somewhere and trying to find them and no address, anything. So, you know, this is the fearlessness that we can get from the spiritual master, and also that fearlessness of that and that faith that we are going home back to Godhead. Sometimes there are dangers, and we shouldn't, like, go headlong into it. We should use our brains and not, you know, make Krishna have to come here and, you know, rescue us. But sometimes devotees are put into danger to glorify that devotee, just like Prahlad Maharaj. How about Abhimanyu? All these huge, you know, Maharati warriors all around him, and he's sitting there, a little 16-year-old boy, you know, and had to go through all that whole thing to be glorified as Krishna's, you know, fearless grandson. So and sometimes that does happen. And even our movement, so many devotees, you know, did such fearless things to glorify them. So Krishna has his reasons. So the pure devotee, he's on that level. Prabhupada uses pure devotee kind of liberally. But you know, many of his disciples were definitely on that level. And in engaging in fearless attempts to spread this movement. Of course, a perfect example of someone who is always feeling protected by Krishna are the cowherd boys. One day, the cowherd boys, armed with their ropes for drying cows and their bugles and their sticks, all three things, they would go out. I don't know how many things they have on today. They've got some sticks. They've got some ropes. They have a bugle. And they've got their bugle. They got all three things. They're all equipped. And they would go out and have a great time playing with Krishna. And they would, you know, steal Krishna's lunch bag and play games like that and everything and have picnics. And then one day they were, you know, frolicking around, running around and on a path. And they go, whoa, what is this? And they see this big open mouth with the top of the lips up in the clouds and the bottom down on the ground. So huge. Now, sometimes I have to walk from my place to here and when it's dark, and I'll see something along the road that wasn't there the last time I went by there, and I'm thinking, oh, God, it's a snake. You know, and it's a stick. It ends up to be a stick. But anyway, but if you were walking along the road and saw something with its mouth open that big, a huge python type thing, or one of those cottonmouth mouths back in the swamp there, but it's expanded up to, you know, that big, you would be a little, you know, frightened and probably run back home chanting Hare Krishna. But the cowboys thought, wow, what is this thing? It looks like a big cave. And then they analyzed it a little bit more and thought, yeah, wow, what is this? Maybe it's a serpent. Maybe it's a big serpent. It looks like it might even gonna be swallow us or something like that. Now, so happened that this Agasura, he was sent by Kamsa to swallow all the cowherd boys and Krishna, because he was figuring that if I kill all the little boys, then the parents will surely die. It'll finish off all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Finished. Our job done. Kamsa won't have any competition. You know, the job is over. So he did this. He sat down there with his mouth wide open, thinking, I'm just going to take them all up. Now, the denizens of heaven, they were actually worried. They were not thinking, oh, you know, protection. Because they're even worried about their own so-called immortality that they have. But the coward boys, when they saw the big demon, they were thinking, all right, if he closes his mouth and swallows us, and no problem, Krishna is here. He'll come in and he'll save us, right? So this is the mentality of the pure devotees, that Krishna will save us no matter what. And of course, they walked in and Krishna was going, oh my goodness, now they've gone in there. What? I guess I'm going to have to save them. And so he goes in and he expands himself and ends up killing this Agasura. So now Nanda Maharaj is going to be walking along the road and see Putana's body. And it ends up that Krishna has not only, he's a protector of everyone, but he has to protect his own self. Not only that, he has to protect his father too. And that picture that used to be on the back wall of him, you know, with the, you know, the fire and Nanda Maharaj being swallowed up. So Krishna's very busy. He says that he'll come here to deliver everyone and protect everyone, and he does that. Pretty much his whole stay here on the planet was to deliver the devotees by protecting them from this and that. But we're simply praying now, please, Krishna, protect me, protect me, protect me. And that should be our meditation and our absorption so that we can fall directly into Krishna's arms at the time of death. And not have to worry about that we might chant something else or think of something else, but we'll only think of Krishna, and we'll somehow or other finish up our real business in this lifetime and get out of here where we're really not meant to be. So maybe someone else has some comments or questions, or maybe think of some other stories of taking shelter and protection. Yes.
I think I read that when he was coming to America, and of course he was advised by so many Sumati Madhuri that you'll starve, you know, all they eat is meat and all these things. And Prabhupada recalled, well, I have ammunition. And to him, the ammunition was his three trunks of Srimad Bhagavatams. So I thought that was a nice meditation, that if we go out to preach, we should always bring the ammunition.
Always, always bring books. But we have to not just have the books, we have to have the books within our hearts and our consciousness. That's why Papa said, if you have any spare minutes, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Because these stories are very absorbing. And maybe during the day we can think of Agasura now that we've heard a little bit of the story. Somehow or other, like reading that Krishna book at night was so nice. Or different pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada was told that you're going to die there. There won't be anything for you to eat, you're going to die. But still, Prabhupada went. Yes, Prangavinda.
That Prabhupada was crying in Radha Damodar temple in the middle of the night and sweeping. And then the neighbor confronted next day, because, are you okay, Swamiji? You were crying last night. He said, yes, Rupa Goswami Pad came and he told me that. Louder? I thought I have a loud voice. You should preach Bhagavatam through nectar devotion. So in nectar devotion, I'm trying to promote the nectar devotion, because this chapter is so relishable. Every chapter, the nectar devotion, Prabhupada explains these few things to be looked in this chapter also. This is just the way I picked it up. That first thing is, Krishna has his own plan. Why he desire? He sanction it. He is Satantra Mayata. He is Saichya Mayata. Whatever he desires, Jogamaya creates this. So why Jogamaya, question comes by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that even demigod, Brahma, cannot enter in Vrindavan. Who is Putanaya? Demon? Not possible, Rakshasi can enter. So Jogamaya permitted by Krishna's will, so there has to be some trace out. The why Jogamaya? So there is a three way to look at it from the Prabhupada's big summarizing on this parental love. That one is Krishna's desire to relish this intimate feeling between mother, father and him. Like an example, Prabhupada translated previous chapter, that after long, long austerity and meditation, when they were older age, Jiva Goswami Pada right, Nanda Baba was 80 years old, they finally got Krishna as a child. Not by jagna or anything, they wanted that particular boy who is unparalleled to any beauty they ever saw. So when they got them now, this is a very nice way to look at it, that if a poor man, Jiva Goswami Pada give an analogy, if a poor man struggled very hard in life and finally got a big amount of wealth, and then all of a sudden comes back and the wealth is disappeared, he is so absorbed more than before about that wealth. So now Krishna will make it more relishable, that he will disappear for a while, for a few moments by Putana, and then the intensity of Mother Yashoda and Nanda becomes so close to Krishna. Krishna relishes that Vatsala Rasa. This is one. Then Brajavasi, another way. The third is for us, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, that Putana represents pseudo guru. Every demon represents a particular anartha or unwanted. So Bhakti Siddhanta, today Jagannath Das Babaji's disappearance or appearance, I'm sorry, disappearance. So anyway, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's life, early life, one of his first disciples, Rohini Babu, he was a nephew of Chief Justice of Calcutta, that he came to visit this revolution movement started in Mayapur. Those days there was no building or anything, but he came with his guru, who had a lot of widows, disciple, but they are like a kind of a very illegal mixing. So anyway, he gave up his life going through the college, and he came and joined. He wanted to become Vaishnava, and then middle of the night, he's seeing all these kinds of activities of guru. Then he was very disturbed, but the same day, that Baul Guru took him to other side where Bimala Prasad, before 1918, he took Sannyas 1918. So he was giving a big speech, and he's talking about this Putana story and this famous verse, you know, Prabhupada even quote, Ho Bokiyan Stanaka Alakutam. So he was explaining that at night he see the dream that big two lioness coming and attacking. He was so frightened and he was crying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then one beautiful sannyasi come with a stick to chase those lioness. And then before Mangalarti, he got up from his house and he just left his pseudo guru and came to take shelter of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Putana story, then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur again repeated this sloka and explained him that we must take shelter of Prabhupada's teachings, then the adoration, awe and reverence, love for Prabhupada will be more scientific, conscious choice.
Bhagavati?
Hare Krishna. I was also thinking of, I think there's a statement where Prabhupada said, if you give your life in Lord Chaitanya's service, don't worry, he'll remember you. So in that connection, I've heard a story. I think it took place in Australia. I've heard it more than once, where a devotee had found the austerities of practicing Krishna consciousness too difficult and gone back to his previous habits, which were not very glorious. So he's come to a very low point. He's lying in a gutter, passed out from drunkenness or something like that. So two policemen came along and they saw this person fallen in the gutter, but he had on neck beads. And one of the policemen had a brother that was a devotee. So when he saw this person in the gutter, he said, "Chant, you fool, chant Hare Krishna." And the person kind of opened his eyes, looked at him and goes, "Hare Krishna?" And then he died.
Wow. Okay, we'll leave on that note. Hare Krishna, glory to Prabhupada.